Hello, hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. Once again, I'm so excited that you have decided to take some time out of your day today to join me. Today, I'm so excited to welcome Hannah Knoll. Welcome, Hannah.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. It's a pleasure to connect. So today we are talking about how worthy you are. So Hannah, let's get started. Just by having you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit of your story and how you came to become passionate about empowering women.
Yeah, of course. I have a very interesting story. I tend to quote unquote joke that if I wrote a book, the first 25 years of my life, 25 years of my life would look like a 40 or 50 year old's. Because I had a lot going on. my parents got divorced when I was really young. We moved away from family shortly after that. When I was a teenager, well, before that, my biological dad moved away. So then that developed some like abandonment issues. Then I got pregnant as a 14-year-old, placed that baby for adoption at 15. So there was that trauma and grief there. And then three of my four best friends at the time decided to not be friends with me after that. Then I went into, I got pregnant again, very young, chose to keep that baby who she's actually right over here next to me playing a game. But, I became a single mom when she was only a year and a half old. And so navigating that, now she's 11. But yeah, it's just been kind of a series of events where it's like when I was really young, something happened where I, you know, was told that I wasn't good enough for this thing, or I wasn't, worthy of being loved, or I, you know, couldn't ask for my needs to be met, or I couldn't ask for help, like things like this. And then just through my whole life, up until just the last few years, you know, my subconscious was constantly looking for proof of that story of those beliefs. It's been finally a couple years ago, I went to a retreat where I hadn't consciously realized that this is what had happened to me. My dad moving away when I was 8, my best friends deciding to not be my best friends when I was 15, and then the split up with my daughter's dad when I was 19. Or was I 20? Maybe I was 20. Those were like the three most traumatic events of my life. And I realized in each of those moments, the thing that I grasped onto, the story that I gathered, was that I wasn't good enough. I had to, you know, I couldn't ask for help. Like I didn't deserve, or I wasn't worthy of like love and respect and attention and all these things. And so I realized that the flip side of that is building a community of women who know that they are worthy, right? Like building a community of people who believe in themselves and women that, you know, chase their dreams and have that connection that, with trauma, you disconnect very easily. Yeah, that's kind of how it all happened. I realized, and it started with like mindset type coaching. And then I really realized I've always been very passionate about business, always wanted to be a business owner. And I realized everyone that I was working with, I was working with them for their business. And after we kind of like established the mindset stuff and the worthiness stuff, then we would move on to all the business strategy. And so that's how it ended up switching into, you know, now I'm a business coach, but really what I'm doing at the end of the day is empowering women to believe in themselves, trust themselves, and really do life on their own terms, the way that they have been designed, the way that they have been created to express themselves and live their life. So it's been quite a journey, but it's been so much fun and I love every bit of it.
Yeah, that sounds like quite the roller coaster ride. But I love what you're doing because as a trauma survivor myself, I've come head to head with the I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, I'm not enough story that I've picked up along my journey.
Yeah.
And I've had clients who've also had that story. So it's a very common thread among humans, but especially those who have lived through and overcome in some way, shape, or form their trauma. They've experienced a hard traumatic event and they're walking through the other side of that trying to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
So what were some of the first steps that you take or that you guide your clients through to help them really connect with the fact that they are worthy?
Yeah. So my personal story, it took me a solid year to mm-hmm. really accept that like this was something I was struggling with. And part of it started with just creating a community of single moms on Instagram where I felt like I was connecting with other women who had been in my shoes, you know, or were mm-hmm. in my shoes, or whether they were further along than me or behind me, like whatever the case may be. It just started with that and just seeing that, you know, I was worthy of connecting with people. But that was for like a whole year. That was really all I did. I didn't dive any deeper. I didn't go to therapy. Like I didn't, you know, get into coaching or anything. Actually, I take that back. I did hire a coach. That was actually probably the start of it. I hired a coach who was a worthiness coach. And I started seeing how the life experiences that I had, mm-hmm. I could teach people something from those experiences. I could help them walk through a similar experience, even if I didn't go through exactly what they went through. So I coached with her for a couple months, still didn't really do too much until about 6 months later when I finally like officially put it out there that I was going to be doing mindset coaching. And the steps for me were, you know, seeing first of all, that just as a human being, you know, we were born worthy, right? Mm-hmm. Of what we want. We were born worthy of, I have a mug right here that's broken, but I glued it back together, but it says abundance is my natural state. So it's like, we were born that way with our desires, with the things that we are worthy of, but we lose it along the way. Mm-hmm. And so my steps were, I went back to the hard moments of my life. I, you know, reflected on everything that happened to me. I became aware of the beliefs that I took from those things. And then mm-hmm. I looked for evidence of the opposite. And this was something I did in a course that I took, actually. This is when I first like realized that this was the process to overcome it. And now I do it on a regular basis with my life coach. We have my mindset coach, but she has like a whole trigger worksheet. And so I go through that on a regular basis where it's like, when I catch myself shaming myself or catch myself, you know, being triggered by something, I go through the process of what am I making this mean about me? And mm-hmm. that's how I start with my clients too. We go back, we reflect on like some of the past things that have happened in their lives. I also use human design. It's one of my biggest tools. And what we learn in human design is that a lot of our stories, like I literally have something in my human design that's called the struggle channel or the resiliency channel. So it's like, I'm literally like, I literally been created to withstand hard stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when we can look at these like parts of like the ways that we've literally been created, mm-hmm. it makes it, it gives us permission to like step into our power with it. It gives us permission to own it and to be proud of ourselves and to not fall into that shame cycle of like, you know, what did I do wrong? Or I should have done something differently, you know, like all those thoughts that we start just beating ourselves up with. Mm-hmm. When you can look back and first of all, you're looking at the evidence of those things not being true. So, you know, maybe it has something to do with friendships and like you have at least a few friends now, like that's evidence that, that you are a good friend. If you have any friends at all, you know, like that's good evidence. But then also looking at the human design and just being like, what am I really created to do here? And what things, you know, what parts of me have been designed in this certain way to live this certain life? And putting those things together, then we can just really accept ourselves and really see ourselves in our true, you know, true power and true potential.
Yeah, I love that. One of the things I do with my clients, one of the first things we do is acknowledge. Yeah. Because you can't change what you don't acknowledge.
Yeah.
If it's not in your zone of awareness, it's just, it's there in oblivion.
You're ignoring it.
And you're ignoring it. So I love that you acknowledge that. And I don't know a whole lot about human design, but I think I also have been built to withstand tough stuff.
Yeah.
It can't knock me down. So how has life changed for you since you have done the work of acknowledging your worth?
Yeah. You know, it's an ongoing journey, right? Like healing isn't linear. I don't remember who I first heard that from, or if it was my former podcast or not my former podcast, but I have two podcasts, my other podcast host. I heard it from her first, I think. I don't know where she got it from, but anyway, healing isn't linear, right? So we're always on a healing journey. And I think every time that I do something that is maybe scary or is pushing me out of my comfort zone, or I'm challenging myself in some way in like a healthy way, right? Like challenging a thought that I have, like, wait a second, is that actually true? Or challenging, you know, a belief I have, like something like that. Every time I do that, it just establishes more trust in myself. And that's really how I started, you know, to get to the point of seeing my worth and seeing my value is trusting myself and realizing how much I have gone through and how I have got myself through all of it and how, you know, I am a warrior and I am a fighter and I'm a lover too. And I deserve love and I deserve, like, you know, the things that we are just destined to have as human beings. Like we're born worthy of what we want and what's meant for us. And I think, just constantly, it really is just like constantly doing the work, being aware. Mm-hmm. It's like a, I mean, it's got to be like a weekly basis. I become aware of something new.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, let's explore this one now. And finding my worth has just been continuously doing that work and continuously reminding myself, you know, that I've overcome these things and consistently finding the evidence of, you know, the truth of me being worthy and me being lovable and me being a good mom and a good friend, like, you know, always looking for the evidence for those things, is definitely a big piece of it for me.
Yeah. I tend to think of healing like this giant onion and keep peeling back the layers.
Yeah.
And you might deal with something once and then it might come back up. Another layer. And you just keep working through it. And eventually you get to the core of who you are.
Yeah.
I love that. So
yeah.
How has acknowledging your worth and connecting with that and all the work that you've been doing around that connected to your worth? And for those who can't see, I'm rubbing my fingers together like money. Your monetary abundance.
Yes. Yeah. So it's been a journey, right? It's interesting when I look back at my worth journey, it's like the times when I'm doing the deepest work is actually when I make the least amount of money. And it's actually, it's a belief that I had where success and love couldn't exist. So love, you know, self-love, mm-hmm. self-worth, success being money and, you know, an abundant career and all those things. And so anytime I'm like really diving deeper into the self-worth and self-love and all that kind of stuff, it happened where then I was making less money and it was like, hold on, I don't like this. And I realized a couple interesting things about that is it's actually within numerology, like from my birthday, that's like actually something in numerology that is like it tells me that about myself, which I just recently learned. It's also shown in my birth chart within astrology, which is interesting that this is like something that is again, like ingrained in me. So instead of me making it about myself, like, why do I have to believe that if I want to make a lot of money, I can't trust and love myself or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And, so that, you know, that has been something that I have overcome. And now like, I believe abundance is, you know, with money is just an energy. So mm-hmm. it depends on what I'm focusing on at the moment, what's most important to me. Right. And money is obviously always very important and time is important and energy is important. And the more that I do my inner work and build my worthiness and build the trust in myself, the more abundance I have in mm-hmm. all areas. You know, I attract clients, like my Instagram grows like quicker. But that was something I had to like get to. I had to, that wasn't, you know, like I said, at first it was like opposite where, because deep down and on a subconscious level, I didn't believe that I could have both. So definitely there's been a lot of money mindset work around that. And anytime I do that money mindset work in conjunction with the self love and self worth work.
it's a mouthful.
It just like all, I know it is. Everything just like it just feels, it feels so easy and it feels so flowing. And I, you know, wake up to people paying me and I, you know, wake up to messages from people like asking questions about stuff. And it's really fun. And it's really cool to see the connection now, especially the growth, you know, mm-hmm. how it's transformed over time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing how you have made those connections that you had the belief that love and abundance couldn't coexist, but you can do the work to level that out and have both. You can have your cake and eat it too.
You can.
So let's talk for a second. Say there is a mama listening who is brand new or just beginning her healing journey, and she believes that she is unworthy. She believes that she's unlovable. What would you say to her to get her started?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, first of all, we have to do it. It has to be a decision for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like the healing work that you do is first and foremost for you to feel better about yourself, to be, you know, because it's not always easy. Like there are going to be times where you have to confront some hard stuff or you have to set boundaries, which is hard, which still is something I struggle with. And you know, those moments can be really intimidating and really scary. And I think the most important thing at the beginning of this journey is to be in a community or have a coach or something of some kind. And I think mm-hmm. you know, group coaching or group programs or whatever. I think those, especially on a, like a regular basis, I think those things are so important mm-hmm. because you can reach out to other people who are like doing it too, you know, mm-hmm. and that's something when I joined a group, in October, I think last year. So 5 months ago or 6 months ago or mm-hmm. something, it like took everything to a completely new level because I was surrounded by other women who were like literally going through exactly the same stuff that I was going through, doing the same work. Mm-hmm. And it can be really easy at the beginning when it gets hard. If you don't have that support, it can be really easy to just go back to what you're comfortable with, which is yeah. the not good, the not fun, yeah, unhelpful stuff.
It is so easy if you don't have a network of support to say, screw this, it's too hard. I don't want anything to do with this.
And I don't want to address this pain, right? Yeah, I don't want to make other people uncomfortable. Like, yeah, all of those things come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think something else too, the second part of that is once you've kind of established and you can see why it's important for yourself, when you start seeing the effects on your family too, or your loved ones, the people around, that is like so rewarding. And I've had a few like instances that have happened where the work that I've done, I've seen how it helps someone else indirectly. And so the days when it's hard and the days when I don't want to be vulnerable, or the days that I don't want to, you know, do it, I think back to those moments when something really beautiful happened and I'm like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, this is what's possible. Like this, mm-hmm. you know, this connection and this relationship and this, this pride and this love, like all of this is possible. And we just have to push through the uncomfortable. And my coach, which there's a million different versions of it, but you get to choose what's uncomfortable, right? You're either uncomfortable yeah. in your misery or you're uncomfortable in your growth. So it's like, yeah. which one you do you want to choose? Do? Yeah.
You get to choose.
Yeah.
So how can women connect with you if they want to, reach out to you?
Yeah. And talk yeah. The best place is on Instagram. And that's where I do most of my sharing and most of my posts and everything. And for podcast listeners, exclusive to podcast listeners, I do offer a 15 to 20 minute consultation call. If you have a business or are wanting to start a business, or, you know, maybe there's just something you're stuck on and you're trying to kind of figure out how to overcome this little speed bump. I am very good at condensing things and seeing the bigger picture. I have a good bird's eye view of things very quickly. And so we're able to get a lot done in a short amount of time. So you can book that by DMing me on Instagram.
Awesome. And I will include a link to Hannah's Instagram account in the show notes of this episode. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I say so often is that the first step is the hardest one. Mm-hmm. And that first push to do something new or make a change or reach out to someone or whatever, that first time is scary. It's totally mm-hmm. unknown. It's like, you know, hiking up a mountain you've never hiked. You don't know if it's going to be really difficult, if there's going to be water or snakes or mud. But then like, once you do it again, like you kind of already know what to expect a little bit. So you know, it's not as scary. So just knowing that as you're considering doing this work, whether it's, you know, just, you know, healing with life coaching or starting a business or whatever it is that you're wanting to do, that first step is the scariest. And then it doesn't get easy from there per se, but there are moments that are easier and you learn how to, you know, how to make decisions and how to move through things with more peace. But yeah, that first step is scary and just don't let it stop you. Don't let it hold you back.
Yeah. Don't let the fear stop you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Hannah, for joining me today. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you like what you heard, please, please hit the subscribe button on whichever platform you are listening on and share, comment, like, you know, all the things. Until next week, friends, I am Emily Claycorn and I will see you soon.